It's impossible for me to preach the first psalm, Psalm 1, without getting a little bit personal, because I had such a deep experience with Psalm 1 this one time in Prague. Now, when I was a college student, I spent one semester studying at Charles University in Prague, and it was just one semester, but for years afterwards, all my best stories started with this one time in Prague. I did a lot of living in that one semester, of course. And I realize I may not have shared many of these stories with you. If you've chatted with me about my double bass, you probably heard that I found and purchased it in Prague. Most of the great classical music I've ever heard in my life, I heard in Prague, courtesy of their excellent pricing schemes for students willing to take standing room. And oddly enough, I got very good at Scottish country dancing while in Prague. But none of those are the story I need to tell you today. The story I need to tell today is about the Teze community I was able to find in Prague. Now, Teze is the worship style of a service that we have here at MPC once a month on Wednesdays, this Wednesday, in fact, but its origin is in an ecumenical monastery in France. And every year, the Teze Monastery welcomes thousands of young people for spiritual pilgrimage, mostly from the various countries of Europe. And I had been on one such pilgrimage 2 years before, and I learned that there were little satellite communities that got together to pray in the Teze style in many of the cities of Europe. So I looked them up, and I called the number listed, and using my new vocabulary from a couple of weeks of Czech language lessons, I was able to communicate well enough to find out that there was a Teze prayer gathering in Prague every Friday at such a time and such a place. It turned out to be a kind of house church, a gathering of generations and cousins and friends and musicians and seminarians. And the grandmother of this host family embraced me and said, "You will be in our family now." And that was that. I was no longer a lonely college student making my way between classes and dormitory and grocery store and symphony. I was part of a family of faith. I had somewhere to go on Sunday for lunch, and every Friday night, I was in their home for a Teze prayer, followed by tea and cookies and conversation on into the night. I had already learned that Prague was not a very religious city. I had been seeking out various churches week by week, and sometimes traveling great distances on bus or tram or subway train, and sometimes finding, when I arrived at this church, just 5 or 10 congregants, plus a pastor and an organist, these 10 people gathered together in the corner of a huge ancient church building. More church buildings in Prague held concert halls than worshiping communities. It was partly the legacy of communism, which had repressed religion, but also something of the spirit of the age, not too different from the Bay Area here and now, where people just don't default to religion. Now, I have friends, my seminary classmates, pastoring in other cities of America, and some of them still find that people in their cities come to church on Sunday just because that's what you do on a Sunday. In the Bay Area right now, as in Prague 15 years ago, there's no such assumption. So if you're here today, it's because you chose to be here. So, anyway, back to my story. This one time in Prague, the grandmother of this adopted family of faith had had me over for lunch and was telling me stories from communism, how they gathered secretly as house churches to keep a forbidden faith. And the songs of Teze were so useful in those times because they're so simple. You can carry them with just a guitar and a few voices. They don't lack for not having an organ and full choir like some of our music would lack. And then when Advent started, In the cold days of late November and early December, my new faith family would bring me to early morning prayers, to tradition going back way far before communist rule, to the 14th century, when some Catholic bishop or another decided that although in general Mass must always be said in Latin, there would be an exception made for pre-dawn prayers during Advent, which could be in the local language, in this case, Czech, and they have been doing so ever since. So at 5:30 a.m. in the cold, we would go to the cathedral, and though we were a very small group gathered in a corner of a very, very large building, I saw it differently now. And I felt the spiritual energy that had kept people going for centuries. My Teze family reminded me of Psalm 1. How blessed are those who meditate regularly on the Word of God, night and day, and in those cold hours before dawn. How strong they will be, like trees planted by streams of water. How many storms they have weathered, how deep their roots go. It's simple, really, but oh, how bright their love shines. And so it really tore my heart open when I showed up for my final Friday night Teze prayer the night before I flew home to America, and after singing a few songs, it was time for the scripture meditation, and someone began to read Psalm 1. My Czech still wasn't very good by that point, but I certainly recognized the key words. Bude Jakob strom na břehu řeky vysazený. They will be like a tree planted by the stream. They will bear their fruit. I cried my eyes out that night as the psalm was read, not just because I was leaving, but because while I was there, I had seen that this psalm was true. My Czech family of faith had been planted by a stream of living water for a very, very long time, and their leaves did not wither, and their fruit came in due season, and all they did well. I am forever grateful that I was able to find such a deep and living stream of faith with this community, and that for a few short months, I was able to put down my own roots and drink deeply with them. I hope that for all of you as well. I hope and pray that you will be able to find a place where the faith of those around you can shelter you for a while and lend you some comforting shade and show you where to dig your roots down deep. I hope that you can find your stream and drink of the water of the Spirit, the living water. But I also can't think of this psalm without also thinking of the tears I shed that day, because at the same time as I had the joy of seeing this psalm written out for me, not in words, but in human lives, it was also the day I had to leave. I could not sink my roots down deep there because it was not my home. The sorrow of a college student finishing a semester abroad is hardly a tragedy in the grand scheme of things, but I mention it because it's relatable. I know all of us must have experienced the heartache of leaving a community you love. What one of us has not visited a place, whether across the ocean or just across the bay, where we wished with our whole heart that we could settle and stay, sink down and make roots and grow, but for us it was not the time or the place or not the people or not the job opening or whatever thing it was we had wished for. Perhaps it was just that summer camp couldn't last all year long and we had to let go. Or sometimes it was not we who had to leave, but something that came to us and destroyed the safety of our place, Maybe the stream ran dry as the other people left, pressured by the rising cost of living. Or maybe the stream was destroyed by something. I think of the casual ways that our communities are torn apart by gun violence. I think of the Marjorie Stone Douglas community torn apart a year ago this week. I think of the churches attacked and even burned by the violence of American racism. And I think of the stories, too, that slip by the keepers of who gets a headline in the news, but the deaths, the tragedies that destroy the safety of our Oakland communities, one bullet at a time. So what do you do, spiritually speaking, when you have to leave your stream or your stream is destroyed? Whether you leave a faith community behind, like me when I flew home from Prague, or in a bigger sense, if you were uprooted by violence, like a refugee, storm-tossed and landing on a new shore, many of us know what it's like to have to face life away from the stream we grew by. Now, I'm stretching the limits of the tree metaphor here because I've never seen a tree uproot itself and walk around on its roots to find a new stream, but we're living trees and we're going to have enough imagination to stay with this metaphor. The question is, what do you do when your stream, the spiritual stream that has nourished you, jumps its banks and finds lower ground somewhere else? What do you do when you are uprooted? Well, let's start with what the psalm has to offer us. It's of course a little bit unhelpful that this psalm divides all people into a binary. It's where some people are blessed and the others are wicked, and some are good and others are bad. When in fact, we know that we all have some of both in us, all mixed up together. But still, we can look at the psalm and see what it says. What does the psalm say about those who are blessed? It says they meditate, they delight in God's word, and they study. We can do those things. In fact, we're doing them now. That's one of the central purposes of gathering together as a church, because meditating and studying are not easy. And to be honest, not all of us are very good at studying the Bible unless we have a deadline, like a class to attend or maybe a sermon to give. And not all of us are very good at meditating when we're alone with what the Buddhists call our monkey minds. That's why we get together, to send down our roots to the sources of spiritual strength together. But here, we need to be careful, because the church is not the stream. Let me say it one more time, the church is not the stream. It can't be. This church is not enough. Because we are made up of ordinary people who are that mix of righteous and wicked, and the psalm writer writes their hope that God would keep that wickedness out, but we know that doesn't happen in real life. We are going to hurt each other and need forgiveness. And we are not going to be able to meet all of one another's spiritual needs. Ben and I will preach sermons that you do not like. And you will hurt somebody else's feelings. And there will be times this whole community might feel dry. I'm not saying that church isn't good for us. It is. And so, yes, join the church. Yes, stay involved. Yes, sink your roots into this community wherever you can and drink deep of what we try to offer one another. But don't stop there. Keep sending your roots deeper. Some people will think a pastor is not supposed to say this, but I will also say the Bible is not the stream. It is not enough either. That's not saying it's not good. Yes, read it. Yes, meditate it, but don't stop there. Keep sending your roots deeper and wider. tuck some poetry in the pages of your Bible, or some song lyrics that fed your soul in a way that no clunky ancient prose translated badly from the Hebrew could ever do. And go to Tai Chi, too, as well as church, or read the Dalai Lama. Meditate on the slightly sacred writings of Mary Oliver or of Lin-Manuel Miranda. Create your own collection, the soundtrack of your life. Nobody else can do that for you. Each of us needs to reach our roots out for whatever will feed them, and ultimately, at the depth, what will feed us is the life of the Spirit, who lives in each of us in a unique way. So reaching out my sermon writing roots in search of another metaphor to help nourish us more today, I wondered how Jesus' teachings about roots and vines and trees and seeds might help us. There are so many directions we could go in. Maybe we're not trees individually, but all branches of one tree. Maybe the kingdom of heaven is the tree and we are the birds making homes in the branches. Or maybe we're not the tree at all. Maybe we're the seeds whose destiny it is to be scattered, to fall in the earth and die and be reborn. Reach out for whichever metaphor will hold you. There are so many. And whether you are seed or tree or root or fruit, the metaphors all hold together, and that God is the life force, nourishing us and calling us to grow. Finally, one small piece of practical advice for us as we seek to put down our spiritual roots. My advice is to go outside and consider the trees, the actual trees. Sit under one if you can. Take this Mary Oliver poem with you, her poem called When I Am Among the Trees. It's a poem that has strengthened me, and I hope it can strengthen you too, so that you also, each one of you, might be a tree of hope for others as we all reach down together for the living water. Here's her poem. When I am among the trees, especially the willows and the honey locust, equally the beech, the oaks, and the pines. They give off such hints of gladness, I would almost say that they save me, and daily. I am so distant from the hope of myself in which I have goodness and discernment, and never hurry through the world, but walk slowly and bow often. Around me, the trees stir in their leaves and call out, "Stay a while." The light flows from their branches, and they call again. It's simple, they say, and you too have come into the world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine. Amen.